Our readings this morning, our first readings from the book of Deuteronomy. We don't spend a whole lot of time in Deuteronomy usually. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of Torah. It is the fifth book of Moses, discovered when they were restoring the temple. They apparently knocked out a wall and found this scroll way back several hundred years before the time of Jesus. And what they found was this book of Deuteronomy, and it's kind of, not kind of, it is, Moses' farewell address to his people. As you'll remember, Moses didn't make it across the Jordan into the Promised Land. He led those people for all those years through Egypt, through all the hardship and difficulty, through the passing of an entire generation. And then he said, guess what? This is as far as I go. They were understandably worried. And this is what he said to them. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, if I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or I ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, they are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. You're up, Bob.
Without a sport card, it's hard. This is from Mark 1, beginning at verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his teachings, for he's taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit convulsed him and crying with a loud voice came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee.
Thanks, Bob. Now, the promise that God made through Moses to the chosen people, those who had escaped from slavery, lived for 40 years in the wilderness, seen death and difficulty, privation at every step. The promise God made was fulfilled many times, not just with Jesus, best with Jesus, but not just with Jesus. The people were anxious for their future. They'd always relied on their leader Moses to know what to do and when to do it. And suddenly they were going to be without him. They were going to be rudderless, they thought. But God makes this promise to raise someone up and bring someone forward who would speak truth, who would speak comfort at times, challenge at times, and keep them alive, reasonably well, and safe. Now, they've been through an awful lot, but they kind of recognized that they'd only begun to struggle. There was a new land to settle, scores to settle within that land, and the whole prospect of self-control and self-governance. And they needed God to send someone, and God did. Repeatedly. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Hosea, prophet. People that came with a word in season, sometimes a word of challenge when they were really messing up bad. The prophet would come forward with a word of challenge when they were at the lowest of their low. A prophet would come forward with a word of peace, encouragement, and comfort. And then we get to the ultimate prophet, Christ. In our reading today, he's teaching in the synagogue. Now, those of you who are in the Bible study on the history of Christianity, you'll remember that in the early days, the synagogue was not so much a temple or a church as it was sort of like the JCC is today, the Jewish Community Center. It was a place where people gathered, yes, to hear scripture and hear preaching, but also to gather socially and enjoy meals and activities in a wholesome setting. And so they were there in this wholesome community setting. Both Jews and non-Jews would have been allowed in. This is not the temple. This is a synagogue. And as Jesus is speaking, a man tormented by an unclean spirit, a demon, starts making a scene. An unclean spirit. It is a Hebrew code word for something ain't quite right with it. And I would suggest to you that there are many people with a quote-unquote unclean spirit plaguing them today. If you suffer anxiety attacks, if you have skin blemishes, they would have called it leprosy back then. If you are ill or infirm or in any way, you are plagued by an unclean spirit in this idiom. They believed back then at the time that there were demons tugging on people. And think about it. Think about it. Is that not true to this day? Are we not surrounded by demons that tug on us? It could be the demon of greed. It could be the demon of lust. It could be the demon of despair, of extreme hunger, of violence, of physical infirmity, of emotional unrest. The demons still tug at us to this day. So that analogy, I believe, still works. I believe it still works. The demon of deprivation and poverty. The demon of hurt and anger. They still exist. And people to this day continue to cause a ruckus, to make a fuss because of their unclean spirit. We do. We do. I'm in the supermarket and someone cuts in front of me and I'm all upset because someone cut in front of me with their cart or with 17 items in the 15 item or less lane. And the truth is, I'm not really upset at that person, but I'm being tugged by a demon of the argument I had with a family member earlier. I'm tugged by the demon of worrying about the health of a loved one, or I'm tugged by the demon of worrying about my job and whether I'm going to keep it or not, or any number of other things. When you find yourself with a short fuse for no good reason, you're being tugged by some other unclean spirit. That's the idea. That's the idea. And it steals our peace. It steals our joy. It steals our ability to hear the word of God. But don't give up. Because in this reading, these two readings today, not only is there the promise of a prophet to come, there's also the prophet that you will be at times. You know, we have times when we are tugged by the demon. We have times when we are the one in hurt and in need. I remember many, many years ago when I met a prophet. I knew, I had known this girl very, very casually for 2 or 3 years because she was a cashier in the supermarket that I would go to quite often on Rosewood Drive in Columbia, South Carolina. Her name was Kat. Remember Kat? You remember Kat. And we shopped there often, and she didn't really know us, and we didn't really know her. And it came at a time when Teresa and I were having great difficulties, terrible difficulties. And I was in shopping, and I was hurting really, really bad, so badly that I couldn't even put on the public face. And I went through, and I did all my shopping, and I got done, and I came up to the cash register, and, how you doing? I'm fine. How are you? Blah, 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 blah. Put my items down. They slide through. It was back in the old days. You can tell how long ago it was because I paid in cash. So I hand over the cash, and I put out my hand for the change, and it doesn't fall into my hand. And I look at my hand, and her hand is right above my hand with the change, and it doesn't fall into my hand. And she shakes her hand like this, and I look up her arm until I'm looking in her eyes, and all she says is this: as bad as it might be, it's not going to last. And she drops the change in my hand. A prophet in the grocery store. A prophet in the grocery store. Now, she didn't have to do that. She probably had another hour and a half on her shift, right? She probably just wanted to get home with her paycheck to her own family and her own worries. But she was in a place with someone hurting. She saw the demons tugging at me. She had no idea what those demons were. But she said, come out of him. Just like that. Just like that. I crossed paths with a prophet, a willing prophet, who made a difference in my life. Fast forward a couple years. Things are mostly better with Teresa and I. And we're going to have a baby. But we don't have a baby. And we have this trip booked to Ireland that we had planned for the longest time. And our heart's really not in it anymore. It's just not in it. Too huge a loss. Too huge a loss. And we don't feel like going and being all cheery in a place where I don't care what they're singing about. They could be singing about their dead aunt, and they're still such cheery music, Irish music. But we go. And our first stop, right out of Shannon Airport, we've booked a bed and breakfast in Adair, a nice little town, cute little town. And we get there, we check into our bed and breakfast, and our host says, ah, you come at the very best time. Publicans, the people who own the pubs, there's two pubs in Adair. And he says to us, with a cheer in his voice and a smile on his face, one of the publicans' mothers has died. And they're having a traditional Irish wake at the other pub in town. You've got to go. You've got to go to this. When in Ireland, so we go to this pub. Our first evening in Ireland, we got like a little over 2 weeks' time stretched out before us. The only thing we know is when we're getting back on that plane in Shannon. We've planned nothing else. And we go to this pub the first night with still heavy hearts and maybe a little bit of jet lag. And who sits down with us right away but Babs Kennedy, the local funeral director. And we find ourselves thousands of miles in an ocean away from our home, spilling our guts to this woman about our loss. Oh, and she was wonderful. She was so wonderful. And she helped us to to reframe our grief and our recovery. And we were in a land, she told us, where tragedy has been served for breakfast for centuries, and yet the joy is always found. The joy is always there, and God does not abandon, does not give up. And she is sure that God set us in that pub with her that night on purpose. And God brought us to Ireland on purpose, that we might heal. We came home from our trip more deeply in love, beginning the process of turning grief to resolve. And as the Sade song said that Kristen sang, it's in our hurt that we develop tenderness. It's in our suffering that we learn better how to love. And we came home after meeting this prophet of God, Babs Kennedy, with a passenger in utero. And there she sits with her Gaelic name and not a nice look on her face. Nowhere in Scripture does God promise us an easy time. Nowhere in Scripture does God say that's it, smooth sailing from now on. Nowhere in Scripture does God say you will not be sick, you will not be injured, you will not be murdered. Nowhere in Scripture does God promise us no more despair. In Scripture, God promises us if our ears and our eyes will be open, God will send what we need when we need it. A word in season. A prophet to show us the way. A hand to hold. Someone to bring forth a gesture of love. God promises us that we are never, ever alone. And God says to us, don't give up. Amen.